Okay, Ralph Wiggum, number one on the agenda.
Well, you put it at number one. Don't act surprised. You expected me to bump it down.
Well, to be honest, I wanted to put it like second to you demoing the thing that you're trying to demo to me.
Because you're afraid
Because,
we're going to run out of time.
oh my God, there's a lot to cover, and I need to basically take my kids off in 10 minutes. But like, maybe
You call me 10 minutes before you go, and then.
don't know if you like if you had 10 minutes and you wanted to talk about something, what would you want to talk about? You choose.
The memes around Ralph Wiggum. I like him.
What is Ralph Wiggum?
Okay, so I saw a very
Is it
nice
this character?
presentation where
No.
Ralph Wiggum is a Simpson character, the guy who sits on the train in the class and that ate the crayons, and the very famous meme where he's on the bus and the bus is about to crash and he goes like, "I'm in danger." It's like it's a classic character, like a clueless character, and so it's kind of fitting for the fact that you just put Cloud in a loop, and I like it. Because one of the breakdowns of why it is successful is basically it just means that the models have become so good.
I thought putting them in a loop was pretty much what Gastown was doing with a little bit of
No,
coordination.
Gastown. So I like the second blog post that Steve Yeager did, which is way more the background and how it came to be what it is. I think that's a gentle introduction to Gastown. So he has the original announcement. Here's Gastown, costs $600 a month to run it. It's crazy. Don't do it. Caveat, watch out. And then he did the second, and with the full breakdown, it's very hard to follow because it's like introducing all of these different concepts, but using names that don't make sense, like polecats and scrapyard and towns and the way that towns communicate. I still don't understand the difference between, like, why can't you just say agents are mailing each other? No, we have to say
No,
polecats live in
I
a
think
town.
he. I often think to myself that in our industry, terminology is actually a big part of what we do, right? Using the right
Yes,
words is the right. And
absolutely.
sometimes, and AI agents is already kind of overloaded as a
Sensitive to
term.
words. Oh,
So,
it's
I mean,
okay.
like agents, I've seen, if you like, I don't know, if you go along YouTube and you. Like some people have like weird ideas what agents are, I think. And like if you define it, if you call your agent Polecat and you define what Polecat does exactly and where it lives exactly and how it works exactly,
It's very hard
I think
because
it's
then you're
better.
introducing all these new concepts and they don't have any relationship.
But that's what a new idea, a groundbreaking idea will probably end up doing, right? We'll invent three new words in the process. I
So
mean,
this is so
that's the way
there's
I'm defending Steve in his crazy naming.
yeah, but I have a history here of coming into an organization as a DevOps engineer and being told to deploy Oculi and having to scram because, first off, you weren't involved in the original design of Oculi. You have no idea what Oculi is supposed to be.
What's
Then you have to find
Oculi?
documentation. So Oculi are the what you call the facets of the eyes of a bee, and it was basically the optic character recognition engine for scanning receipts at the supermarket at the team that I was working at. So you see how annoying it is.
A
And then
bit.
another thing that's very annoying, yes, naming is difficult, but for me it was like, just tell me that you want the OCR scanner microservice deployed. Yeah, don't tell me I have to go and figure out what Oculi is. And the same thing with all these polecats and all this nonsense. But at the same time,
But that's kind of different. I mean, that's like a project name as opposed to but yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it can work the other way very easily.
yeah, I mean it makes sense, I guess, if they are in the nomenclature. Like it was an organization called Honestbee, so it was Oculi and Beehive was a ca product
Oh
catalog. But
no. Oh God, no.
yeah, but
Oh God,
you cringe
no.
the moment I say this.
Okay.
I cringe the moment I read like polecats and all. And then
Yeah.
he says to avoid copyright, he mixes Mad Max terminology with others to make sure that like no single enterprise can go after him for copyright claims or trademarks. And he said, no wonder. And no one. Anyway, what I was trying to say is, and we were getting back to Ralph Wiggum, is that the second article is way better because he really explains exactly how and how many iterations he went, because he created original Vibe Coder, and then he created VC, and then he created a Python version of Gastown, and he had a couple of workshops. I think it's the second one there, yeah. And then he did the Golang version of Gastown, and he kind of explains his experiences using Python versus Golang, and what worked, what didn't work, and like he went to, through three or four iterations of Gastown. So it's a very good. I like this one. It's a way more gentler introduction to how it came to be what it is. But it is a very interesting way, and it's a very interesting, group of people are approaching agent orchestration by building it in a non-engineering way. For example, is it better to create Git work trees and let every agent work in an isolated work like Git branch? And then deal with the branch conflicts, like merge conflicts, or, and that's another approach, is it better to all let them all, like let's say you run three or four agents at the same time on the same file system and give them a way to communicate with each other and reserve files so that they don't create these conflicts at, in the first place? And as an
Reserving file,
engineer,
yeah, blocking a folder or something, yeah.
So as an engineer, you come with a long background of like Git and versioning and collaboration that takes several days and, this type of workflow. Whereas these agents work at a very different like speed and have a
Yeah.
way, much better way of coordinating than us. So approaching it from a non-engineer perspective, which is what this guy, I forgot his name now on Twitter, he built the mail system that Gastown uses. So basically this mail MCP for agents to communicate is all coming from non-engineers. Looking at this AI hype from a completely different angle, like a non-engineering angle. And I thought that was very interesting to read. And I think Ralph Wiggum is also an approach to that, right? Stop trying to build too many processes around these agents and give them a very simple loop.
So
That's very nice.
have you tried it? Actually, I can relax now since the school is not opening and is delayed opening for 1 hour.
Oh,
So
because there are too
we got
many
time.
people were stuck.
We got time. So that's good. So yeah, have you tried Wolf this approach then?
No, but I think the one of the breakdowns for it I thought was very interesting breakdown because I think I'm repeating myself, sorry, I'm distracted. Because it identifies that the models have just become so much better. And also
Yeah.
I feel that kind of reflects us as we are like, this didn't work, but I finally found something that worked, and this works 100%. I tried so many and it didn't work. But guess what? Maybe it doesn't work because you found the right way of doing it. Maybe it just works because
Yeah.
the
I
model got
mean,
so much
personally, I thought AI was interesting, but then when Claude 4.5 came along, I thought to myself, holy moly.
Yeah, so many people now because I avoided X for a long time, and but it used to be a very good source of news. But you were sharing me some threads, and then I decided to just start going through this. And the
On
amount of,
X, you mean?
yeah, if you subscribe, if you follow
Oh
the right people, then it's insane. Like the amount of
yeah. Yeah, that
things
For You
happening,
tab is insane. But if you just
and the
follow the
amount of
right
people
people.
going, like I just spent 2 weeks during the holidays with Opus with the double limits, and I'm sold. I'm sold. That's
I'm
it.
sold. I enjoyed the Anthropic posts on X, like the advent calendar, and that Boris guy is also really good. The what's his name? Got a searching on the guy that invented Clorker. Or he's great. Yeah, this I don't know if you follow him, but he's posting
Boris,
really
yeah, because he people ask things and he
churny.
replies to them, and he talks
Yeah.
about his workflow, But then he also replies, "Oh, just do this," or he says, "Yeah, that's a great idea. Let me add that, and we'll add it to the backlog."
Yeah, there
And
was an epic one where someone suggested something and then he released it in 20 minutes.
yeah,
So.
and also that he says that he's what merging 100 PRs, and he has like six parallel agents, and the way he
Yeah.
switches between his mobile and
Yeah,
his
so
desk.
I'm using my wife's subscription because I have API subscription through work and I just don't want to mix it all up. So the thing that confuses me, or the thing that I want to do, the workflow that I want to do is that like I have my Claude stuff or I have my agents doing something, but say I pop out to go fetch my kids and or I'm in the supermarket, it would be nice to go on the Claude app and basically see how those agents are doing. But right now there's no link between Claude Code sessions and the app. And I thought he was alluding to the fact that this might be possible because he said, there's a command in the Claude Code slash mobile, and but it doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, there was another really cool one. People are more and more saying like, I need my laptop, like my cloud code on my laptop because it has everything installed. And Boris, I don't know how he does it, but he must, I don't know, maybe he has a custom sandbox internally within Anthropic that has all the tools, that has more than what we get when we're on the web. But
Yeah.
we get like, if you use cloud code on the web, there's a lot of restrictions on it, obviously, because they don't want people to start running crypto miners. And so basically somebody says, what if I can just like run a tmux from my laptop, or like a reverse tunnel, like ngrok, and have that exposed through the web so that I can just be on
Oh,
my mobile.
this might help you. Boris, help me. I hit my weekly limit slash extra usage.
Yeah, you know what that is.
Is
It
it
just
extra?
starts using your it starts using your wallet with the API
Oh
costs.
my
So
God.
like you pay $20 a month, you put $5, or maybe you put $20 in your wallet, you hit the 5 hour session limit, and you go like, you know what, I would really love Opus to finish this, and you like go like, yes, extra usage, and it burns through $20 within like an hour, and you go like, what, I just paid $20 a month and now I just burned to another 20 in an hour. It's very, very painful, but it does help if you're in a rush.
This is also interesting. Opus 4.5 is Ralph Wiggum and Playwright is AGI.
I disagree. Those are people. I talked to one guy and he has like an enterprise access, and he says, yeah, I burn millions of tokens, like you mentioned before, they have thousands of dollars. Then maybe you can use Playwright MCP. But if you're on a normal
Yeah.
subscription.
So the last podcast upload.
Yep.
And you can find it on debase.com podcast. The thought that's been jiggling around my mind since we last spoke
How do
is
you
like
test and validate?
how do you test and validate stuff? Do you have the solution for that? Because yeah, like when I read this tweet
Beats of code.
about Playwright being the AGI, you were saying to me, no, you're running Playwright wrong with MCP. So how do you run Playwright right? Playwright right. Should be a rapper.
Okay, so what is my problem with MCPs? And also the problem that both Cloudflare and Anthropic have highlighted is that it's a massive token waste, that sending
Agree.
all of the characters across on every turn
Yeah.
one by one is
I've hit it
just
myself several times. It's very frustrating.
right. So when you use the Playwright MCP, it will take screenshots, which is base 64 encoded image, so that's a significant amount of characters. It will take a structural document, like some type of YAML representation or an XML representation of the whole page. It's not really XML because it's like more of a structure of all of the elements. It's a strange, I don't know this representation, I'm not a front-end engineer, but it takes it some type of skeleton, not a screenshot, but sometimes of like structure. It also sends that down to the model. And all of this information is like so much. But when you use Playwright as a scripting engine, basically you write a script, right? You say, first go to this URL, then click on the login page, then you will be redirected automatically to another page. Wait for the username text box to be available or element to be
Yeah,
available.
I have scripts like
Enter
that
the data.
myself.
But that's a script that is maybe, 20 lines, and that gets generated by the LLM and sent to Playwright, and it executes in one go. And it may get stuck. Maybe the
But
redirect doesn't
creating
happen.
that script t wastes a ton of tokens, in my experience.
No, it doesn't. Why would it? What? It literally did not. I never wrote Playwright in my life, and I was like, I would love to be able to do more of an end-to-end. So maybe I share my screen. I don't have.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
you gotta demonstrate this workflow. I'm very curious. Like, for example, could you show a workflow where
Not on request. I can show you what I have.
no,
Okay.
but I want to see how you create it. Like, go to like debase.com and
Also,
listen to a podcast or something. I mean, that's very simple. There's no login here or anything.
I'm
But
not gonna like
validate that there's a
send me that in
podcast.
advance and I will try.
Kalima. Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you, Abio Soft, for creating Kalima. I mean, I'd be dead if I didn't. I mean, Mac OS would so suck if it didn't have Kalima.
Yeah. All the other ones need to pay, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have like test users, Alice user, platform user, new user with no groups, and I'm validating that these users are not able, to do things.
You
So it has like logged in.
coded this with the AI, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to write any of this. I have not written a single letter of code in this test.
Okay.
So it's 170 lines,
Okay.
right?
Right.
The setup thing is the coolest thing because it does the E2E setup, which, as you can see, it makes sure that the containers are running, and then it makes sure that the users, like it creates a user by creating the Alice user inside Keycloak, and creates the test user with certain password, and everything. It also goes against my API to register the user role. So if in Keycloak I create a user a certain group membership, and in my API I create a group membership to role mapping, so it does both ends,
Okay.
right? So
Oh, I
when that
didn't know
user
about
logged
this
in,
Playwright test. So that's like a UI for running the script.
yes. So and this is gold, and because if
Gold.
it's amazing, I tell you. So once everything's up, right now the server's up and they're listening,
Yeah.
and I can just go. For example, I want to do a successful login and session persistence test. So I'm going to log in and then I'm going to refresh and make sure I'm still logged in. Right, so I close the console. There's nothing here. It did not run. When I click it, and when you trigger them, it's going to run them all in parallel. This is running in a separate Chrome browser. So in this case, it goes to sign in with SSO, but clearly it failed. Oh no, it didn't fail. It didn't fail. Sorry, it passed. It's green, right? There's some error messages here. 401 unauthorized. That's my API because my web asks, like the login status, and you get a 401 if you're not logged in. So these console error messages I have to get rid of at some point. That's my who am I endpoint. Anyway, you can see here it ran very fast, right? It took 3 seconds. So it
So, what,
navigated.
so what's ran in parallel? I didn't quite understand.
I just ran one. I just ran this one
Oh,
right now.
okay.
But if you run them, you can. If I click this one, it's going to run all of these. If you can click this one, it's going to run all of them. And it's going to all run in separate headless, not headless, but it's going to run all in Chrome instances separated. Individually, all
I
run at the
see.
same time, all different workers, Chrome workers. So I just ran one. So it went to the website, and then it says not authenticated. It clicked on sign in. It was redirected to Keycloak. It entered the test user, which was part of the Bootstrap. It clicked on login. Then it was automatically redirected to the API, and it waited for the selector. So this is something that you learn. Originally, the LLM did not generate any test ID onto the elements inside the browser. So it looked for text, like it looks for like the login button and things like that. But if you then after a while, I think OpenCode, Codex or Gemini said, you know what would make it really easy? If you would add test ID to each of these elements. I was like, what is test ID? I was like, well, if you want to do Playwright scripts, you just add like little attributes to each of these elements and
What
then you can easily find
it
them.
just came up with that in a coding session.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like again, I have never written Playwright in my life. I have not done this. I'm not a front-end engineer, and it just said let's use a test ID, and I was like, okay,
Okay,
awesome,
cool,
do
cool,
it.
cool.
And
Love
so it
that.
waits for the selector, And then it reloads to make sure that the user is still logged in, right? And then it verifies I expect to still be logged in, and then I guess it opens this login screen on the right, and it sees I'm logged in and I have a product engineer role because I'm a product engineer group membership, right? But what if I want to, what if I introduce failure, right? So again, this did not involve, right now I run my own make target, but this did not involve any, back and forth between the LLM and the MCP server directing Chrome, anything like that, right? It was a single script and it ran the full thing end to end. And then it gets the result, it gets the console, it gets the errors. At every stage, you can see exactly what was the state of the web browser at that point. So if I close this, then the make target will finish. So now if I go and change something, for example, in my auth flow, or maybe in my page, maybe in my web app, I will remove the test ID, for example, so it can't find the element. So let's go under.
Yeah, I like this idea. Testing for failure.
Yeah. Not login pace. Is there like test ID? No. Where is the test ID
You
even?
know your code base inside out.
I haven't touched this. I haven't touched this for like
This
ever. I don't know.
is when you start whipping out Copilot. Please make a failing test.
Yeah, there's some here. Like it tries to make sure that the edges exist between states. And here is the list view. It tries to make sure that a certain state ID is listed after you. This is part of the create. So there's one test that does a creates a state. But my dashboard's supposed to be read only. But I wanted to test permission, so I added the create state button. It's like, oh my God, I have to remove that. Even here for the notification, it tries to make sure that there's an error message. So maybe if I remove the toast test ID, let's say I remove this, and then I find the test that looks for notification toast. So let's find that. It's definitely not in the TSX. It's going to be in the test scripts, I think.
I think you
Oh, I
your copy
pasted
and
the wrong
paste didn't
thing.
work.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you try Amachi?
Yeah, I am using a much. I'm using Arch, by the way, but not
But
here
did but
now.
did but did you try Amachi?
Yeah, I'm using. Of course, I'm not going to use Arch without Amachi. And what kind of lunatic do you think I am?
Well, but like I installed it, the ISO yesterday. I was very impressed, and I've got it on
I'm very.
my ThinkPad.
Just
But
don't
why do you?
run the like screensaver because it crashes constantly, and it kills Hyperland.
Okay, so you're using Amachi, of course.
Yeah, so there's this thing, checks for a success notification. So there's some here, verify state created, looks for a success notification, which looks for locates role alert. No, that's not what I want. I want to know the one that has like toast notification. So it added the test IDs, but it's not using them. Nice.
Yeah,
I'm
so
sure it's using it so here. It's using them here. Let's look for those. It's used for alt profile button. So let me remove the alt profile button. So let me remove the test ID so we can't find that anymore, and then it will fail the test because it's not there. Right. Let's look for
call it button two or something. I don't know why you want to
NTSX.
do this. Yeah, so
Yeah.
what I wanted to get out of this conversation is that I wanted to know that there's a good way of testing an AI generated product and making sure that it's consistent and doesn't break for users and things like that.
Okay, let's run it again. So this alt helper is the this is the login via key cloak. So it's going to fail the login via key cloak
Okay.
because I removed it. So the first thing one that we did should fail this time. And we should get like a clear error message of why it failed.
And where in the code, man?
And you
That's
get an
part.
LLM prompt also from Playwright,
Well,
which is the
how?
craziest part. Yeah.
Huh?
You
What?
get an LLM prompt. It's going to say it failed on this step. Here's your LLM prompt to find the fix.
Is this part of Playwright already?
This is part of Playwright.
I already
This is
know that you.
why I'm like, whoever, like I try to find online resources Every single one is about the MCP. I'm like, why is nobody talking about this awesome features that are in Playwright that are like way better than this stupid MCP? So okay, let's close the console
Yeah,
again.
to be
This one
honest,
should fail now. It
a
should
lot of people
define
have gone
the
off the boil
weapon.
with MCP.
Yeah, expect to be visit. Wait.
It's probably gonna time out, right?
Eh?
Kaboom.
Maybe I need to build my web app again. No, it failed. It errors, right? It failed here. Here. It says expect locator to be visible, failed. It says locator here, and then copy prompt. And you go into your code and you go into cloud and you say, hey, well, don't use this prompt because it's gonna, you
Well,
need to
that's
tune
the
it.
biggest prompt I've ever seen in my life. It's like 20 pages. How many lines of code is that?
But it's everything that you, it's a lot shorter
Just
than what.
scroll down.
Hold on
Like
a minute.
how long is this thing? Just scroll down.
Keep your knickers on.
They're on, trust me.
300 lines, not that much. Come on.
What the hell? That's amazing, but at the same
It's
time, what?
absolutely amazing because it goes like, look, this is what the page is. Here's the YAML. This is the page snapshot. The thing I told you, it has this YAML representation of the page. And if I give this, if I just give this right now to
HTML to
Cloud,
YAML.
it's 100% Cloud will go like, yo, the alt location button has a 2 to it. It changed for sure. It will find it in a sec, in an instant. Not even gonna, I'm not giving it permission to write. I'm just gonna launch Cloud real fast. Paste that in.
Probably gonna waste $10 on this
Now, I haven't used Cloud all day. It's fine. Use the 77% of the weekly limit.
20 ah!
It's fine. It resets on the Thursday. Yeah, it's still enough. 25% for Wednesday should be enough. One day. More than enough. Okay. Look, it didn't even have to go through anything. Like the test expect the element to be like this, but your profile button. Would you like me to read? Yes, read it. Yes, read. It didn't read. It just said, yeah, it fails because the it's looking for this button and it can't find this button. So it hasn't even read the alt state yet, but immediately it's going to say, oh, you have the test ID
Okay,
changed.
well, I.
There you go. It says like there's your problem. The test ID doesn't
Okay,
match.
very good demo. Very good demo, Vincent.
Not prepared at all. But
Well,
now do you trust me? Because earlier you were like you did not trust me. You even wanted to hang up the
I
call in
still
instantly.
think the creating these tests is damn expensive, but like I'm just thinking like legacy applications where.
Yeah, that's
Whereby
what I was telling you. I was telling
the
you that none of the applications that we've written so far have these things in place. But if you but one thing is with LLMs, you can actually spend, you say it's expensive, but how much do you pay for a QA engineer? $5,000 a month. How much do you pay for cloud? I paid $30 a month, and it did all of this for me.
but it's also yeah, I mean, you're right, you're
Keeping
right,
out
you're
the
right.
darkness.
You're right. It's funny. I actually never thought about the poor QA engineer who's going to be threatened by AI, but now I'm thinking.
But the QA engineer would have saved me money because I wouldn't have written all of the tests without test IDs. It would have immediately thought like, hey, we need Playwright, we need test IDs. Stop. LLM did this right.
No, I'm just thinking aloud that there's no need for a test engineer. I mean, that job is.
Now you need to be all, right? You need to pick it up quickly and you can learn quickly from the
You
LLM,
need to know workflows like the one you just showed me. So hopefully
which is why I think
the
it's
podcast
perfect to be a
viewers
DevOps engineer.
will rate the podcast or like it to say that, hey, I learned something thanks to Vincent's demo right now.
Which Kai didn't trust. You're never going to make that mistake
Healthy
again.
skepticism. Okay, so that approach shows me that you tested it with Playwright. But I just can we have a quick look at beads because that confuses the hell out of
Yeah,
me.
go ahead because you had a lot of questions about beads. You took already the screen, I guess.
No, I haven't actually. Let
Oh,
me
you can
just
still see my screen. But can you now understand that all of this material, maybe it should be the first database.com blog going about stop using Playwright MCP and use Playwright the right way.
why don't you write a blog? Jesus Christ, it's still. It's, I need you to help me out here. I'm dying.
I don't know because what blog on Dabase or blog? I don't really have you. Have you
You
seen
can
there?
blog on Dabase. It's you just do a pull request.
Ah, guest blogs.
Okay, so here we. I'm showing the screen now. Hopefully, everyone can see my screen. This is Beads, baby. Okay, one thing that confuses me is that when you look at the workflow runs, they all fail. So that makes me think, like, well, how come they're even failing? Because, they're
That
using
makes me feel
AI
your check
and.
the CI. The only way to make sure if something is properly tested, looking at the CI,
Okay, it looks
because
like it's the Go lint is failing.
where are
But
you?
still, can you
I
see my
can't
screen?
see you. Yeah, probably. I just can't see you. I don't know where you are.
Whatever. So, I mean, it's a bit
Keep going.
trivial here, like it's a Go lint error, but like why didn't like the hook or something pick that up? It's been failing for ages. So that's my first question about beads.
No, hold on a minute. I think I. Oh, now I can see it. Okay.
The next thing,
Yeah, I see.
okay, like so this is release 0.440. Okay, so we should be able to see
Oh, you're right. All of the GitHub Actions are failing. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so like how does it even release it when everything's failing? So it just shows me that
That's why I
like
haven't
it's
updated for a while.
but like I mean
The
the
question.
okay. Now let's have a look at this. Like if I go it's clone it out. You can see my screen, right?
Yes,
So
nice and
if you go into beads, so git tag. Oh my god, this is probably going to show you how incompetent I am. Where's the latest bloody tag? Okay, so this is the, so if I go git switch, I think that should work, shouldn't it?
don't
How
ask
do
me. Get check out on the tag directly. Yes.
I think I need to still create a branch, don't I? Release. Okay, so this is 0.4440. And I think if you run scripts dot tester, it should pass, right?
Well, if the CI is failing, then I would not expect it to pass on a machine that doesn't have any special setup. To me, the CI is the validation that for me to say to anyone, like, it's a you problem because it works on the machine, so it's your machine problem. If the CI is not working, I cannot say anything.
So I ran scripts.tester.sh on a main checkout and it failed. And I was like, what? How can this possibly be? Basically, so yeah, here, look. It's
I see it.
failing in Git in Go test. It's failing in the CI, yet he makes a release. I'm totally confused.
Interesting. Very interesting. Very
Steve,
worrying.
what the hell are you doing, man?
Wait, he's watches all of
He what?
this.
Of course he watches. Hey,
Of
Steve.
course.
Hey, Boris. Thanks
Hey
for tuning
Sam.
in, man.
Hey Sam Altman. Can we
Back
go
to
to the
you.
Ralph Wiggum memes?
Yeah, let's go to the Ralph Wiggum memes.
Don't know, are you familiar with Invincible? So the
No.
cartoon characters there is the Vitruvian of
This is
in
a Marvel thing, isn't it?
No, like it's like this anti-heroes. So, and that's a spoiler for maybe the first three episodes of season one.
Oh
But
no, I'm not gonna watch this crap.
yeah, so it's a lot of these heroes comic books, they're now like the heroes actually super villains, like the boys and Gen V and
Oh
Invincible.
yeah,
But
of
it's pretty
course.
funny because he is this super, it's like a play on Superman, but he comes from like Krypton, planet Krypton. So he's like a Superman inside Earth, and they're looking at airplanes that are flying, and he's telling his son, but he basically his role is to prepare Earth for takeover. So he's supposed to destroy all of the Earth
Infrastructure.
defenses. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but his son is supposed to, follow in his footsteps, but refuses. And so he's telling him, like, look at what they need to mimic a fraction of our power, because they need all of these machines to fly and all, but we have so much more power. And so basically here, the GPT 5.2 users are making fun of it, because I think it's very funny, a very funny meme. Because when you use cloud code, it goes very fast, but it makes mistakes, right? So you put it in a loop. But if you use Codex or GPT 5.2, it goes very slow, but it ends up being correct, because it like spends a lot of time actually reasoning and making changes. It kind of has the loop built in. And that's kind of the joke here.
So
Yeah, I thought,
GPT 5.2 already has this kind of flow.
because it's so much slower, and people are like, I hate GPT-5 because it's so slow, it's not feel doesn't feel snappy. But then on the other side, you have all these cloud users that are so snappy, having to put it
Yeah.
into a stupid
Yeah,
loop.
that's a typical trade-off between speed and quality, I suppose. I mean, if it's fast enough, it doesn't really matter, does it? Or it can pave over the cracks quickly or something.
I don't know, it depends on the complexity of the task, And
True.
because we're so bad at selecting the models ourselves, or the automatic selecting doesn't really work well, I'm happy to have a model that is very snappy for most of the things that I needed to do. And then when it needs to do a super hard troubleshooting thing that I need to let it loop a bit, I'm also okay with it. Or maybe I just switch over myself. But I would rather have something that's always fast than something like GPT-5. I thought it was a funny
Interesting.
reference.
Okay.
OpenCode became the default on Omarchi.
Default.
The
I
default,
mean,
yeah. So Omarchi ships with ChatGPT and Cloud Code, and they switched as a default CLI agent to OpenCode. So they use Ghostly already by default, and now they made OpenCode
I
the
mean,
default.
they just added the package as far as I could tell, but I'm so impressed with Amachi. I'm really impressed.
But the greatest thing about it is Omarchi, DHH, is very much focused on the theming, right? He forked Chromium so just that he
Well,
could apply the theme
I
colors.
think the theming is a way of hook of attracting people. I mean, I think DHH is next level. I think he has a very good sense of taste. You need that polish that the Linux desktop
Exactly.
has been missing, and Amachi with the themes. I know for power users it's a bit of a waste of space, but like I understand why he's gone that way. I mean the whole install process. Did you run through this install process too?
Yeah, and just like you, I have the same pictures, and I posted on Instagram, not on Twitter. I have the same video.
It's just amazing. Like when you install Windows, it takes you like half a day. This takes 3 minutes
He
and
does it
34 seconds.
on stage, right? Here, I had the whole. Actually, when let me turn off the.
It's so amazing. If you're not using Amachi, why aren't you using Amachi? It's amazing.
Yeah. The coolest thing is that,
He's also even solved copy and paste. Like copy and paste works really well with the
so
Super
I
Key.
was like asking ChatGPT, this was like when it was booting, oh yeah, it has the whole it's a video basically. Ooh, what?
Oh my God. Please stop these handheld videos.
How are you gonna make a screen capture when it's booting?
Well, you can get one of these
You
cheap.
are you have why did you take a picture with your lap phone of your
Oh yeah, true,
ThinkPad
but
screen?
it's at least it's better. It's less irritating than a video.
And this one. Stop, I sent you one, and now I show you a
Well,
second
no.
one.
How, what
You
was your
have to
installed?
stop.
What was your time? What was
Does
your
this show
time?
the time? Ah, f 6 minutes and 20
Oh
seconds.
my God, what a loser!
How come mine was so slow? It's a Vietnam internet, dude. I'm not on a backbone. What kind of internet connection do you have?
What, gigabit?
Yeah, the fact that you have like an IP range tells me you probably pay a shitload of money for a backbone internet connection, straight a pipe straight to your bedroom.
Yeah, I don't know if you do anything like this, but like what I like to do is I smoke ping my internet connection to like for example
Okay.
S3 endpoints, so I know exactly if my S3 endpoint is sucking or doing something weird.
Okay. So it's definitely internet problems for me,
Yeah,
because it
I
was
mean,
on
you
an
choose to live in
one
a third world
terabyte NVMe.
country,
Oh, you also did it on a new NVMe SSD that you bought, right?
Huh?
We also just at the same time bought a
Oh
new
yeah, I
SSD.
installed it on a new the
It's the
system
same Samsung.
information. Well, you okay, you have this, you have the high-end Samsung one that costs.
And it still took 6 minutes, and your shitty end one took 3 minutes.
Well, I got the Micron
Internet
one,
problem.
the Micron. Yeah, like I'm just quite bullish about Omachi and the future. I feel like the
How
timing
do
for
you feel about
everything
the
has been really
tiling window
amazing for me,
manager?
huh?
The tiling window manager takes a while to get used to, though.
I mean, to be honest, I'm a full screen kind of guy. I mean, I have my workspaces 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I've been using DWM for a decade or something, and it's basically the same idea.
But
So
you have
I'm
one
I
screen of two screens.
well, I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
No,
nine,
I
and you.
mean on your lap. So it's a laptop with one. I have like
Yeah.
two screens. So for me, it took a while to get used to like moving the
But
window from
you're
one
on your
screen to
Mac OS
another.
machine right now, aren't you?
I'm on the Mac OS, but I installed it on my desktop with like dual monitors. On my MacBook, I have three. I have my MacBook plus two screens.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm still loving my M1 Mac Pro. I don't see myself changing, but my backup machine is Omachi, so I'm pretty pleased with that. Okay. When I like I've worked at a few startups. I'm being very facetious here, but like for example, I'm working at Gojek back in the day. And their product owners that get assigned to a product, and like I'm just thinking to myself, like, what are their qualifications? Like, how did this person become a product owner? This person doesn't know how to code, or is not very very specifically, but somehow they're in charge of this product to do this thing, and I'm like,
I think product owners
is
are
it is
like
it like
project
it seems
managers
like
and
an
stakeholders.
MBA middle manager, that was the qualification. But surely an MBA middle manager product owner is not going to fly today.
But I known product owners that are very good and they're focused on user stories and focused also on deliverables and they do with together with the UX and the graphic designers and that's a complex job, but definitely that's where I'm also like when I'm doing my full stack stuff for fun, I'm like, yeah, I'm obviously not a UX expert. And I'm scared. Like I need to get those things under control because I feel like I can
But
direct
a
the
typical
LLM
product owner doesn't it isn't a UI
on
expert
UX.
either, right? The so, so and a colleague some time back told me that to be a middle manager, anyone can be. He told me like anyone could be a middle manager. All you need to be is organized. Is it correct to say that AI helps you keep organized? Because that's the way I think about it.
I think when you use AI, you need to be even more organized because AI goes on the tangent with you if you don't pay attention.
I see.
I think you need to really know, like, hold on a minute, this is high priority. Yes, AI can tell you this high priority, but it's only going off on what you make it feel like. If you feel that is not a high priority, you will, AI will quickly adjust and go, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I guess this goes back to people who have experience. The people that have a taste or know the different rabbit holes that you can run into, the people that know how to get to a deliverable are better disposed to work with AI.
I think so, yeah. People that are able to keep the goal, their eyes on the target and scope down and identify this is good for an MVP. I need to get this in front of users quickly and able
And
to cut
I guess I
ties and
was
not
trying to
get
paint a
dragged
picture
in.
that us engineers would be a better fit for the product
You were
owner.
hoping for it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Given the
I'm not
examples
so.
I gave you earlier as well, like an engineer explores this working, like collaborative working of agents using Git and what he knows, but somebody coming like from a completely different background just thinks like, well, we're orchestrating things that communicate at the lightning speed. It's not like humans need to wait for each other and are busy and are sleeping, they can easily coordinate file system and wait a few turns
Yeah, but
and then take over.
a product owner is not going to come up with that Rolf Wiggum approach. Is he or she? Well,
Well, apparently it was product owners, and it was a dude that is a quant trainer, high frequency trader
Yeah,
that came up with these
I
systems.
guess
He's
I'm
not a
biased to
coder.
think how engineers are going to skill up, but I'm also, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to figure out in my brain is like, I think I know where I need to go, but where do the existing people need to go to? Also, like, I guess that all these skills that we're learning are accessible to anyone, really.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who is fastest to reinvent themselves and who can, because this is one thread I saw on Twitter now. I used to say, always say I saw it on Reddit. Now I start to say I saw it on Twitter, which is like some people, they're just doing their 9 to 5. They have their family life. They have no time to explore this. And then you have other people that have nothing but time. Maybe they're unemployed or they're just like
Or
Steve
people like
Yege,
us.
addicted to these things, and they're just Steve Yeager was saying, I'm running cloud code while I'm driving, like it's on my laptop in my car, and like I'm on it all the time. And he
Yeah,
also
people
said, like,
investing their time. Yeah, I guess it's all about that. People investing time.
he said, I had 1 million, and this is another thing they say, right? You need to get in the reps, you need to be like, you need to exercise, and it becomes a body to mu to muscle, like mind to body connection. But
Yep.
when you're on the topic, because everyone is going off and re misrepresenting this tweet from this Google engineer, principal engineer at Google, Yana Dogan or Raquel, who built
Yeah,
like a
Raquel. Yeah. I love
Raquel
that lady. She's written some great stuff.
load testers and stuff in Golang
Yeah,
repo.
Hey is one of my favorite tools
Okay, yeah,
ever.
I also use it. So she said that they spent several years as a team building.
Oh, do you have the tweet?
Does she still have it on her account? She might have removed it. Because I think many people just jumped on it and said, like, you see, AGI is here because Cloud Code was able to do it in a week, what they spent years to do. Yeah, that's the one, right? I'm not joking, and this isn't funny.
Yeah, I hate it.
But
This
this is.
person screenshotted her and like what? Is that because she removed it?
I think she might.
Well, my takeaway of what she said was that well, Claude is good, A, and B, that like that Claude was able to make a breakthrough because like. Let's be honest, like when you
No,
have a
they didn't.
team, when you have a team of like three or let's say five, let's say if you have a team of five actually good people, it's quite a struggle to build something because the five people might be pulling in different directions. But when you give a task like build an orchestrator to Claude 4.5 and out pops a product and 10 minutes
But I think
later,
it's.
you're like wondering what the hell's going on now.
This is like a classic case of Captain Hindsight. Like,
Captain Hindsight.
you know Captain Hindsight from South Park?
No, I don't actually.
He
It's an
comes to a
interesting
burning
concept.
building and people are screaming, and they're like, "Save us, Captain Hindsight!" And say, "That building is built too close to the other building, and there should be a fire exit there. You're welcome." And he goes away. Like, anyway, it's like they spent years designing this and iterating through different versions, and she approached Cloud and. You prompted it, just an indicator that an expert with experience into certain systems and knowing the trade-offs is able to build something like within 5 days with it, but it doesn't represent all of the mistakes that they made along the way and all of the retries they had to do and the different iterations they went
Yeah.
through. So it would have taken a lot longer, but reality is, yes, I mean, you can definitely take an idea and iterate and then, or build an MVP and try it out and then realize all the problems that you have with it and then quickly throw it away and step back and do another one, which is what Steve Yeager said when he was building Gastown, right? He did the Python version, then he did the Golang version, and he says, like, he basically spun it up, looked at the agents, what they were trying to do, and then, because he has this idea, like we talked about last time, you build the flags and the commands that the agents are trying, like they, hey, here's Beats issue tracker, create an issue, and it goes like, okay, BD create, and then an error, it's create dash dash description, oh, the description should be a positional argument instead of a flag, you know? So he makes the tool to behave like the agents. And then when he was building Gastown, he tries it. The agents are like struggling. He kills it. He just looks at what they did, and then he builds those flags and those commands. And he said it took like three, four iterations, and finally the agents were like intuitively picking everything up and started to just churn code out on their own. That's when I knew I had it. That's when I knew it was ready to go. And since then it's been running, and he has like received 30 different pull requests, and like it's barely 4 days, and he says it's taking off like crazy. This thing is going on its own. And another really cool observation he made was that Beats was launched in October. It wasn't part of the training corpus of LLMs. Yet they were very good at using it. But what else is happening is all of these LLMs get retrained with the new updated data, and they will be intuitive on Beats. They will be trained on Beats. They will know how to use it, and they will know how to use Gastown. So it's only going to get better. They're only going to get more intuitive with Gastown, is what he said. And I thought that was a really cool takeaway as well. It's basically, you know, the what they call it,
Yeah,
the
like
singularity point,
that's one
singularity.
thing that I found quite frustrating with the skills, because I wrote a skill to help me like I wrote a skill to help me to use the GitHub CLI, for example, right? Like this one here. Like if I give you this URL, then you can view it and you can, for some reason that I need to put the check override the GH pager, otherwise when you run GitHub run LS, it just stops. You know what I mean? You
Does
have to
it?
press Q to get out of it. It blocks. I don't know why the GitHub CLI
Yeah.
works that way.
But you have to do that in your terminal. But if you go in cloud and you do execute term shell, you will don't have to do it because the pager in cloud is not set. Like the TTY is different. So
But
if
like in VS Code, it runs it in the terminal and the page is the same as your terminal and it gets stuck. This is
Really?
why.
Cloud code did not get stuck for me.
Yeah, but I understand the cloud code wouldn't because it has a different
Okay.
environment, but the way that VS
But this
Code
is
works is
something
slightly
VS
different.
Code.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that I wrote this and then I did a test, like do the thing, like
Yeah.
here's the thing.
It's
With
still
it, with the
unsafe.
skill, and then or without the skill, and then with the skill, and see if the skill actually was used, and it did it actually even work. And the funny thing was, is that it was kind of helpful
Up to a point.
for
Until you hit
OpenAI
40% context remain.
for OpenAI for
Oh.
basically dumb models. But Claude 4.5 knew how to run GHCLI without even me telling it to do it.
Right, yeah.
So it's like what you said with Beads. It's like we're getting to a stage where like the models are trained to do these things, to get these new skills, and then you,
Right, right,
and then
right.
it gets to a point. Then like, why is that skill even there? It's just polluting the context, right? Because now the model even knows how to do this, and I don't even have to tell it to do this.
Yeah, it's a bit subtler, I think, because I think, but it's right. I mean, ultimately, it just directs. In a way, we don't understand how these things work, right? I mean, it's just like terabytes of data going into layers of what they call it.
Inference models or whatever.
It's more like neural nets
Networks,
of.
But I do things that I did. There's one step that I ask it to do, which I don't think it does automatically. And that is to check. I mean, the whole GitHub CLI experience is insane. They sort of hide the commit for some bizarre reason in the CLI. So
Oh,
basically,
do they show it in
I
this
tell
case?
it to like please check what the commit was and make sure it's the same as the one that's local. Otherwise, we know we're getting off to a bad start.
Right. Nice. Yeah, this is a type of like small little details that you wouldn't get in a training corpus, right? That is like, you know, if you're trying to do this task, there's this little catch that you need to watch out for, that you need to that the skill really is useful for. But even then, like, I feel that these skills are, they say that if you hit 40% context window remaining, then the models turn into dumb. It's time to cut. Like the moment I see I'm the task is complete, and if it's like 45%, I'm like, okay, time for the handover, you know, don't try to tackle anything else. Because they will start doing these things where even though I have like the skill and I have it repeated in my initial prompt on the session, plus there's a skill, plus I have to say it again, and yet it still doesn't do it sometimes. It's like,
Yeah,
okay.
that's we've talked about it before, but I see it a lot online. It's like, yeah, I've given the skill, I've given the Claude.md, but it doesn't actually do what I asked it to do. So there's so from both angles, we have a problem here. Like, we have models that are improving so that you don't even need the skill, and then the other side that when you even write the skill, it doesn't take it on.
Some do better than others. It also depends on what's already in the context. This is one thing that I realized, very weird. I was working on a project and I had like broken down the tasks. And this is one of the things they talk about why well Ralph Wiggum is good. Because normally you will break down the task and you will create a big plan of this, then that, right? Do this, then do this, then do this. But then if you need to adjust, course adjust in the middle. You kind of like, oh, where does that go? And if you have like a long list of tasks, it's a bit harder to readjust everything. But what I was trying to say is that for some reason, I had a very big task list with very clear specifications on each task, and I had never told it to do something. And for some reason, one of the previous hand session handoffs, maybe Opus, decided to add this little helpful example code snippet, but it doesn't match at all my original task design for the next task. It said do this, and so I kicked off OpenCode. It was one of the first times I used OpenCode and Codex in OpenCode, and it started to do this completely different thing. And I was like, hold on a minute, I never told it to do that. And I went, where does it come from? And I started blaming OpenCode from not reading the task properly, and then I noticed it was in the session handoff from Opus. I was like, where did Opus get that from? And then when I removed it, I git reset the whole tree, got rid of everything that OpenCode has done because I didn't want that. It was one very early little code snippet. And I removed that little snippet that Opus added for fun. And suddenly it worked perfectly, exactly as planned. So this can be frustrating if you don't pay attention. Like I think like at the context degradation, for some reason it didn't follow the pre-existing research and thought it might be helpful and a little bit like do a little bit extra sometimes
So
where
I
it
guess going back to the whole product owner versus engineer, I think engineers are a little bit more detail oriented, right? We would probably catch that.
I don't know. I can't say those things because there's so many different engineers and owners, product owners. I can't say. Again, like I said, it's the people that are able to reinvent themselves. Either they're an engineer or a product owner, and they're able to get their reps in and to explore, and they're curious and they keep going at it, even if
Yeah,
the
you're
first time it's
right.
not the perfect
You're right.
output.
You are right. I agree.
It's not because
Why
somebody decided to be a product owner one day.
why the hell doesn't any of Steve Yeager's
Test pass.
Oh no, it does pass. I needed a BD in it.
Oh, so you needed a SQLite database. And then it worked.
I mean, this is for Gastown. I mean, did it? Yeah.
Now it's running the cached, right? Because go
Yeah.
test by default with no
How
code
do
change.
you make it
You can
not do the
do
cached?
dash count on the if you go to the make file. So Cloud always says it's actually dangerous when you use cloud because
Like, how do I
in
make
some
it do
cases it
a
doesn't
non-cache one?
dash count
Dash
in the
count?
dash count one space one. That's what cloud always does.
What? Does that
Yeah, run
work?
it.
What? How is that intuitive?
It's about the parallelism of the task or something. If you do it again, I don't remember exactly, but when you
Then it's going to be
were,
cached.
nope, it cache
What?
breaks.
Just by
Cloud.
doing count one.
Yeah, there. I remember why at some point, but at this point, I don't care anymore. Because like when I see this and I ask Cloud, it just add the count. And like the first time, I was like, heck, why? Now I'm like, yeah, whatever. You're right. Does it do what I expect? Oh yes, it does. Okay, I have to go now.
Okay. Oh, generated by Claude code. Generated by Claude code. Interesting.
But look at who. It was Gus. It was Jack.
Who are these people?
Otter, Kiru, Gus. These are the different polecats in Gastown. Jack,
Oh,
Gus. These are the
George,
different names.
Max.
Dave. And then there's Deacon. And then there's
Blackfinger. Wow, man. I gotta have a closer look at this. Okay, thanks to the chat. I think that was good stuff. See you.
Yeah.
Bye.